Oi, oi. Hi, babes.
Hey, babes.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm sick.
You said? What kind of sick?
It's like a cold. I have a cold, but it really, it's like a headache, like sinus, my throat. I'm coughing up so much phlegm. This morning, I literally woke up and coughed up so much phlegm. It's crazy.
That's brutal. Well, it sounds like a sinus infection. Yeah.
Or something like it. But it also like made me super tired. Like as soon as I finished work, like, you know, like a hazy head. I had like a fuzzy head.
I think you're also exhausted. I mean, I know that you rested on 4th of July instead of hanging out with me, which, okay. Mm-hmm.
Which I'm glad you probably are exhausted.
Yeah.
I'm glad I did it because I'm like, I feel so much better. They show you nails.
That's good. Those look great. Those look- Wait, okay. We haven't talked about take me through the black coffee experience.
Okay. So.
I am dying to hear this.
This was Monday. Monday morning, Sydney comes upstairs to have breakfast with us. And she's telling us about how she went to Black Coffee. I'm like, Hamidé, she went to Black Coffee. We should go. Yeah. Hamidé's never been to a concert, a festival, a rave, anything like that.
Okay.
Right? But he loves Black Coffee. You don't even know how surprised I was. One day, we're in the car and he's playing. I'm like, I know he likes techno, but then he's like, you know this guy? This is Black Coffee. My man. Yes. He's African. So he loves him. And I'm like, Hamidé, come on, we should go. You never go anywhere. You never do this kind of stuff. You should just do it. So I convinced him to spend $400 on the tickets. He buys the tickets. I'm like, is it black
coffee? How are they $400?
So listen, because it was $167 plus the fee. And there's two of us.
Okay. That's big ticket price. $167. Damn.
Girl.
Okay.
At first I was like, is this 4 p.m.? That can't be right. And Sydney was like, no, that can't be right. The show that I went to started at midnight. And I was like, oh, okay. Then I went to the Brooklyn Mirage website and it said 12 p.m. So I said, oh, okay, this is the right one.
12 p.m. is noon.
The tickets.
12 p.m. is
12
noon.
12 a.m.
Oh, okay.
12 a.m. My bad. So okay. 12 a.m. So then Hamidé goes off. He's doing his business. Hamidé just walked in. When did he come home? What is he doing here? He's doing his business. I go to get my toes pedicured. We had therapy that day. It was a good day. It was a really good day. Actually, it was a good day because we were kind of fighting. Then we had therapy and we got through the miscommunication, had a little makeup sex while the cleaning lady was here. Okay.
Yes. She
was here. And I was like, come on, it's just a real quiet.
Oh my God. I don't know if that would stress me out or feel exciting. Yeah.
It was exciting for me. Hamidé was like, woo. And I was like, whatever you think, let's do it.
do it.
Come on. And then I come home, I get dressed, he drinks an espresso, I eat half a mushroom chocolate, we go to the bodega, we get Red Bulls, we're in the car, we're driving, we get there, we see people kind of walking away, and we're like, but not that many people. Then we get to the door, and we're like, oh, is this Black Coffee? And they're like, oh, yeah, but it's over. And we were like, what? And I was like, I thought it started at 12 a.m. No. And then the security people were laughing at me, and I was like, don't laugh at me.
Rude.
And then I felt
what is starting
bad.
At 4 p.m.
I don't know.
Of course.
I felt so bad because he was so excited. Ugh. And like, Hamidé doesn't show his excitement like me. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited. He's like quiet about it, but I could feel that it was there inside of him. Ham, I'm talking about black coffee.
Oh no. Hi, Ham. Did you just close the door? Hi, Hamidé. Wow, damn, that is sad. And then you have to be there. Fuck. Well, I get that because I was like, how did she possibly mix up 4 and midnight? But if it's said on the website, then it's said on the website. Are you going to try to get your money back?
Yes, we have already started the process.
Okay, who'd you contact? Brooklyn Mirage? The bank?
No, the bank.
Interesting.
I don't
want to
say too much
get it?
Just in case. Don't worry about it. Just
okay.
I don't want to say too much because
No, the case is open.
And the case is open.
Oh my God. Well, I'm on the edge of my seat. And I'm sorry that happened. Hi, Gouda. She actually looked really cute there. Damn. Well, that's an adventure. I hope that's out. And I'm sorry that fucking happened. That's truly my nightmare. To be excited for a show and then roll up and be like, we missed it. Fuck.
Yeah, it was so sad. But I'm going to get the Burnaboy tickets.
Okay, good. I have one. Because
I know I'm going to make it up to him. You have one. I'm going to get us two. And then now my thing is, if any of the listeners can help me, I want Hamidé to meet Burnaboy. I want Hamidé to be able to get a picture with Burnaboy. So if anybody knows any way that we can get this done, I'm going to make it very public that this is what I'm trying to do. And I'm going to try to get my husband Hamidé a pic with Burnaboy. It would be
that would be
dream.
Great. And then we can invite him on the pod.
Yeah.
Episode 28 featuring Burnaboy. That's
the
our
king.
Dream. Absolute king. I'm just terrified that he's going to be the same time as Carly Rae Jepsen because they're on the same day. But, you know,
girl, if that's the case, you're going to have to be at Carly Rae Jepsen because I am going to be at Burnaboy.
Well, no, I will skip Carly Rae Jepsen. I can't believe I'm even speaking those words out loud, but I've seen her before. And like, I can miss a festival set from her. That's one of the craziest concerts I've ever gone to is Carly Rae Jepsen. Every single person there was screaming every lyric.
I mean,
it was no one.
Her fans are diehard fans.
And it wasn't anyone who was like, yeah, I guess I'll go to Carly Rae Jepsen. Like everyone was like, I live for Carly Rae Jepsen and I am going to let her know. Like it was, every person was obsessed with her.
That's my friend Bobby.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
my friend Bobby's.
It was a lot of
Bobby's. Okay. Bobby's dog's name is Carly Rae.
Oh my God. That's the gayest thing I've ever heard.
It is a gay situation.
That is so funny. Yeah. I love her. And hopefully they're not at the same time. We'll see what happens.
Oh my God. I'm so excited. Hamidé's first festival and you're going to be there.
I know. And it's around our birthday too.
And it's our birthday month. We should make him do shrooms. He really doesn't want to.
Definitely.
But honestly, at this point, we just got to sneak it in his food.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. I was like, you've never been above drugging someone before. I think
he's
he'll
here
enjoy
right now.
It.
And I know he'll be like, oh, no, you can't do that to me. But it's like, how will you know?
How are you going to know?
How will you know?
Y'all never
and who are you going to tell? Who are you going to tell the police?
Who are you
going to
tell? Are you going to call the cops?
On
who's gonna pay
wife?
My legal bills?
Legal who's
bills.
Gonna
you're
pay my legal
them.
Bills?
You're gonna
listen,
end up paying
our legal
them.
Bills.
Cut out the middleman and just do the shrooms.
Just cut out the middleman and do the shrooms once.
He'll do it.
You've already eaten a weed cupcake. That's just
and
how
loved
the
it.
And loved it.
And you know what? I'd rather be on a little bit of shrooms than weed than any edible. You know what I mean? Like it's just a nicer, softer experience for me. So tell him that. Give him that endorsement.
And I'm going to tell him, you got to block out the whole day. Dirty, yes. You got to block out the whole day because we're doing the festival and then we're going to keep going.
Yes. And it's only at Citi Field. So it's like, that's pretty chill to get to.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Be
an experience for the book.
Speaking of great, the episode that we recorded for you.
Oh my God.
Our friends, our fans, our listeners, we love you. We are getting the Patreon online. I'll send it to you. I pretty much have it all, you know, organized just when I get the confirmation from my friend and co-host, Carolina.
Our Patreon is going to be more like an OnlyFans. So please get ready for some X-rated content.
Absolute tits and ass coming to you from Carolina and Melissa. Just kidding. They actually don't let you do that on Patreon. They don't let you do that.
Yeah.
I was reading the guidelines. I was like, oh, fair. But it's going to be great. So we'll have that for you. Again, I feel like we forget to say this all the time, but we will read your reviews on the pod. I don't know that we have any new ones. I'm going to check really quick. And if you have questions, have like something you want us to address and talk about, you can just go ahead and write us a little email, hosewithfeelings@gmail.com. And we will get to it on the show. We have 19 readings into it already. I think these are all new ones. Okay. We don't have any new ones to read at the moment. Wait, am I in see all? Yeah. Okay. So yeah. If you leave us a review, we'll read it. Okay, so our episode is with Solomon Giorgio, who is an incredible comedian, amazing TV writer and literally one of my favorite people to run into, as he is an LA boy, always feels like a run-in. It feels like a fortuitous run-in every time. And,
also
you know,
such
someone
a wise and kind wise, heart. Kind heart.
Oh, when I'm getting to it. The kindness is unfounded. Like, I have not experienced, because it's someone who you could like be intimidated by. You know, he's older, he's so experienced, he's
absolutely
so fucking funny that, like, you know, maybe I'd be, you know, nervous around someone. And it also shows like his security as a person and how like good of a soul he has, that there's never that like, oh, I'm gonna be like kind of like fake mean or cold to someone who's like, you know, quote unquote beneath in comedy or whatever, just to kind of like, you know, maintain the status or maintain the allure. There's none of that, which is, dare I say, rare. You know, he's just so kind, so generous, so wonderful. He's written for Shrill, High Fidelity, SpongeBob fucking SquarePants, like Hacks, all that, Crashing. He's just most good TV that you're seeing right now, he has a hand in. Adam Ruins Everything, very fun. And he's, you know, sets on the Tonight Show, all this stuff. Look up his comedy. You will not be sorry. He's so fun.
He's funny.
At Solomon Giorgio. Yeah, he's amazing. And when he said he'd do the podcast, I was just like, this is such a fucking treat for us and for all of our listeners. So kick back, relax, unless you're driving or whatever, then, you know, pay attention, and enjoy our ep with Solomon Giorgio. Solomon, I cannot tell you how excited I am to have you, especially since our most glorious pride, dare I say, one of my better prides.
All we did was just hang out in an empty lot.
Yeah, we had the best time. I mean, we had the dance. We had a dance. We had a,
yes, here
fantastic.
And there. A yeah. Sporadic dance here and there, but mostly just smoking cigarette after cigarette.
Cig after cig after cig.
So while the jealous. Sun,
while the sun was up and people were beginning their day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was
bagels.
I was in the throes of the suburbs of Massachusetts in the whitest situation ever, literally. Just like at a BBQ in my friend's backyard with her husband and their other two white couple friends. Everyone's white. And it's just like me. They're like.
So you put yourself in a get out situation.
Oh, I did put myself in a get out situation. And it was like so hetero. And I was like, it's fucking pride. And I'm here.
I know.
Look, it happens to all of us. Look,
it happens. This
never happened to me. I'm honestly lying.
Me either.
I never know what happened.
We assume it happens to some people.
I've been told it happens to things and stuff in places. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But not to me.
Not to us. We love you. We love you.
Thank you.
Yes, oh my God. It was great.
You guys had the best pride.
We did.
And I was just here. Oh my God, they won't stop coming.
Yes, it was. I finished being sick because I got the gay cold immediately upon reopening. Yeah. And then that's when I went to New York and I showed up to New York with a script due, a cold finishing up. And then it all went away the second I got to the first Pride event.
Of course. It is the cure for everything. Well, I feel like this Pride was like, not that everything wasn't opening before, but it was like once it was Pride, it was just kind of like, okay, we're going to be sweating on each other. We're going to be in the mix. It was great.
It was no holds barred. No one cared about their health anymore. They didn't get like the Delta variant. Like, we don't give a shit. Let's see what happens.
No, we're going to get the Delta variant and chlamydia all in one swoop.
Let's make it happen. Give me an anal fissure and let the Delta variant go right into my blood.
Yes. Just one hit.
I had zero sex. I don't even know why. I don't even like.
Yeah,
I'm
me either.
When I party that hard, I'm like, why would you throw sex into this mix?
It is insane.
Yeah.
Also, like one thing that I like kind of always forget is like, okay, when you meet someone and you're gonna go hook up, you have to leave the party. Yeah. Usually there's a many parties where you can't have sex at the party, but like, that's a bummer.
I don't do public sex. I don't understand anyone who can. That is truly like, I don't want anyone else involved in this. I barely want to be here myself.
Right, right. So you throw in the absolute, you know, watching a spectator sport. Yes, it's...
Yeah, like if there's no... If a comfort of a bed is not available, I am of the age where the sex is not going to happen. It's not... That's not a choice for me anymore. I'm not going to fuck in someone's car.
No.
I'm no more 40 car
years
sex.
Old.
I've never had 40 sex years in a old. Car.
I've had so much sex in a car, and it is truly disgraceful. It is everything gets steamed up.
Yeah.
It's you realize one how time, much of your limbs get in the way.
One totally. Time I walked by a car late at night. I was coming out of the club with my friends, and there was this girl in the front seat, and she had the seat pushed all the way back, and this guy was in front of legs wide open, and he was in front of her down eating her out, and we were like we're all screaming. It was hot, and it made me want to have sex in a car, and yet I never
can't
have.
Believe you haven't.
See, I'm the opposite of
sex
that
in weird places but not in a car.
Well, maybe that's because you grew up in New York.
That's true.
If you
I
were
grew up in New York, like we weren't. I also wasn't having sex until I go into college, and then I had sex in
I always forget that
I had sex in the woods.
No,
that's cute.
No. Like that's nature.
The diva.
I don't want to fucking bring bugs and ants and birds into this. They don't. They deserve better than that.
That's true.
Those that's are ancient true. Creatures. I don't. They don't even see what I'm doing.
They don't need to be involved.
Listen, I got eaten out in the forest in South Africa. Literally, was my back up against the tree, and it was glorious.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, I famously
choose to believe you. I'm never gonna live that moment.
Well, camping sex is great because A, there's no bounce. I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast. Like when you're just having sex on the ground, nothing's getting past anyone. You know, it's great. I also had sex inside of the Grand Canyon, which I don't know if I've mentioned on this podcast. And that was truly majestic.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I fell off a roof once during sex. That's one.
No, Solomon.
Well, it was like one story. So it wasn't too crazy, but it did definitely suck.
that's amazing.
What else happened to my sex life? I've done a lot. My 20s were very a lot happened, a lot of names that aren't remembered.
Sure. I mean, that's me too.
A lot of individuals who I hope to never see again.
You probably killed it. I can't even imagine.
I didn't really kill it. Because in my 20s, I would just get really, really drunk. So it'd be like, whoever can. So it's like, it was more along the lines of like, whoever wants to fuck right now, this is your window and it's closing.
And in 30 minutes, I'm asleep. So
I'm going to be gone. I'm going to throw up and then I'll be asleep.
That's so funny.
But yeah, there's been times where I'm like, oh, I just guess I woke up to a threesome because I'm like, but yeah, no. And like now I'm like, no, I don't want anything like this. I don't want group sex. Like great. We all made a hot tub dirty together. I don't want to be a part of this.
Right. I mean, because you're an adult. You have respectable work. You have a house.
Well, that doesn't matter.
You know, a life. I guess that doesn't matter.
No,
you have dignity. Like, you have dignity.
Again, wrong. absolutely false. That is an assumption you just made. It's not, dignity just never lived here. Dignity's never moved in. She's not.
I don't know her. Yeah.
If she's walking down the street, I wouldn't recognize her.
Never seen her in my life.
No calls, no texts, no pages. We don't know each other. But no, like it's not like essence of dignity. It's mostly just laziness. My whole face ended strictly because of laziness. Like that is where it's at. Like I don't want to make the effort of having sex with somebody if it requires me to do too much work.
Absolutely.
And I also issue now is that I have emotional attachments every time I have sex with people. So I have to be very wary of that.
You're looking for a bae then, it sounds like.
Look, allegedly, but I'm not doing a very good job at it.
Listen, that does take work. You gotta put yourself. Well, are you opposed to apps?
I have the apps and I don't. Here's the thing is I'm both very picky and very lazy. So it's a very difficult combination because it's like I'm I want somebody hot and willing to come to me. Like, I don't really like the work part of it all, because it's such an emotional tasking thing to get rejected. And I'm at the point now where if anybody rejects me, I just feel like they should die. No,
I totally feel that. I know.
I'm not kidding. I mean, if someone rejects me, I do. But also, I feel like I was at the point where when someone would reject me, I would just be like, "What a stupid."
Mm. Yeah,
that's the thing. You have to get to.
Oh, I don't want to, like, that's things like I don't want to get put myself in a place where I doubt myself anymore. So risk, like, so that's things like I want to make sure that's a sure thing before I take that big of a risk, because it's like, I don't like doubting myself. And I don't want to put in the work if it's going to end up with self-doubt. So it's also a bad way to live. You should just be fine with rejection, especially at my age. Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel like if I was your therapist, I'd be like, okay, yeah, we don't want to reach self-doubt, but can we get to a place where we're like putting ourselves out there? And if there is rejection, we still don't have the self-doubt. We're just kind of like, okay, that was not the person for me. That was not the scenario.
Not only was that not the person for you, but also think about it like this. That person was stupid.
No, I agree. Yeah. But you have to understand the emotional work to do that.
Yeah, again, of course.
To see there's a lifting that requires that on my part where I can just be like, oh, I can just stay home, eat this whole bag of Doritos Cool Ranch and cheese dip.
The best one.
And never be bothered again.
Of course. Of course.
I feel like I couldn't do that only because I love to go out. I especially love going on dates. Like, I love going on dates.
I love going out, but I love going out with friends. I'm happy.
Me too.
And I think sometimes people do confuse my intentions, because I'm like, I'm not flirting with anyone on average. It's usually 0% of the time. So there are times where people are like, what are you doing? Like, just hanging out. Let's fucking party. Like, that's all I want.
Yeah, let's have a good time. No, I mean, the confusion creeps in, of course, when you have like, especially with the gay boys, groups of friends, like everyone, you know, always ends up fucking each other. But I think that you're in a position in your life where, like, if you wanted to open to that option, there are going to many people lining. And I know you know that. But it's, I understand that. Well, I guess, how was your COVID? Were you talking to anyone during that, or were you strictly?
I was talking to people here and there, but mostly I was just, you know, working and being home alone. And then from those, like, I'm very good at being by myself. That's the great thing about it. That's also the reason behind the laziness, is that I like being around me. I'm not that bad of a fucking hang. And apparently I would make myself come every day if I was allowed to, and I am, and I do. So
yes, that's legal.
Yeah.
I love
for that. Now.
For now. Until they take it away from us.
I like being by myself a lot too. And I'm starting to realize that if I don't make time to be just by myself, I get real cranky. I get real grumpy. I get real just like mean if I don't take time to be by myself, but like just, you know, I call it just like, sometimes I just want to be home by myself and just be fat and ugly. Not that I'm fat and ugly, but like, I just want to, like, you know, let loose and just be like my worst self sometimes and just like eat whatever I want to eat and do whatever I want to do and like be sad if I want to be sad and just like, nah.
Yeah.
And if I don't allow myself to do that, if I pack too much shit onto my plate, then I literally become the devil.
Mm. Yeah. I never let myself get that busy. Not anymore. Not after this past year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you in LA the whole time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in LA. I went up to Seattle for a little bit. My brother lives with me now. He like moved in the midst of the pandemic, because I was, and that was kind of nice, because I was like, oh, I have somebody who I don't care is around all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
And he can be in the same room. He can be not be in the same room. It's perfectly fine because we don't get in each other's way.
Oh, is it your younger brother or older? A younger brother. Oh, that's cute.
That's cute.
He's 37. Younger brother is really a very loose term. He is 37. He's a whole ass adult.
and you're just like, here's my baby boy.
My baby brother.
Well, he's but he's back in school now, so. So he's been focusing on his studies.
Love.
But he's now currently at his girlfriend's. He's dating someone. I can't say girlfriend yet, but he's at a birthday party right now. And I was just like, oh, cool. So I'm here for a decade, nobody, but you here for a few months, no job.
Just immediate.
Living with your brother.
That's what's
and
sad.
You get
on paper, I'm no job living with my brother. And girls are like, yeah. Come to my birthday.
Well,
party.
I'm sorry, but to me, it just sounds like all I'm hearing is that your brother is hot. It sounds like
exactly.
My brother looks like me, so of course he's hot.
He's a hot guy. I mean,
he's hot.
But I'm like, okay, you're just striking it out already with. I think just also straight women, your standards are different.
It's unfortunate. It's so unfortunate.
It's sad, but it's true.
He has potential. Like, he's the kind of person that you're like, oh, I see what you can do. Mm-hmm. So it's not like anything like he's like, oh, he's unemployed and he's going to be no, he's unemployed at the moment while he's going to school to pursue something much better.
What's he going to school for?
He's in an animation school. So yeah, he'll be fine.
Disney, Pixar guy, whatever.
He's animation, artistic.
Animation is such a big industry. He can literally just get a great job making hair for those movies for the rest of his life.
Damn.
Because it's like a whole team, like working on like individual things. Like, that's why whenever you see like an animated movie, that's CGI, that list is, the credits are forever because they have so many people working on the tiniest thing. Like, I deal with the shadow of ear holes. I'm like, all right, that's your job. And that's it.
right.
But it's like it takes forever to do that kind of stuff. He tells me that I'm paying. Right. I guess I pay attention to him when he talks. I don't do that often.
Well, that's good. That's because you had someone there. I feel like in LA, it was much of, you know, everyone alone in their big houses. Where in New York, we're alone in our, you know, 400 square foot space.
I was very fortunate. Like, I wasn't going crazy in a small space because that would. Like, I'm going crazy with a front yard and a porch.
Exactly. I'm on the porch losing my mind.
I didn't go crazy either. I mean, I did go crazy, I think, just because, like, the world collectively went a little crazy. But I thank God that my apartment, like, isn't that small. It's not huge, but it's not that small. Right. And we have 3 bedrooms. And we have space. And
you
I have
more space
downstairs.
Than anyone I know in New York.
Yeah. And a backyard.
You have a lot of space.
Also, yeah, Sydney living downstairs. She can come up and harass
you
anytime.
She's a commune. Exactly.
Truly. Like, I mean, it's not always good. This morning I woke up, I was feeling so sick. And I said, Sydney, can you come upstairs and make me some eggies? And she came upstairs and yelled at me because I didn't look sick. And I was like, what do you want me to do?
Should look sick next time.
I am sick. I was like, what do you want me to do? You want me to look dead? Like, you want me to not breathe?
Yeah. You gotta sound you gotta sound the part.
I feel like I sound sick.
No, you gotta go deeper.
Especially to get Sydney on board, you gotta bring in the theatrics.
Like, I do, like, I've like fucking just spray some water on yourself to make it look like you're sweating.
Mm-hmm.
Make it real. Like, just
I mean, like, that's honestly what I'm going to have to do. Because no one, like, I say I'm sick and literally no one, like, people just, like, I feel like when someone tells me they're sick, I'm like, oh, my God, are you okay?
Well, because you have youngest child vibes. You have youngest child vibes where you're, like, going to be whiny about, you know, oh, like, my finger hurts or something. You know what I mean? And that's not that. I'm saying that with the most love. I know, and I spot it a mile away. I can see it. I can smell it. And that's why I feel like you have to work harder for people to take you seriously when you want people to feel bad for you.
Melissa's an oldest child. What are you, Solomon?
I'm a middle child. I'm number 5 of 7.
Five of seven.
Yeah, none of us mattered. It was a mixed bag.
Hamide is the youngest of 8. My husband.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Middle child, I feel like, is generally the best one because you're catering to both. Like, you're flexible. Like, the glue that holds it together, at least that's how my middle sister is. Usually, I find the biggest heart is the middle child.
Look, I can tell you that's depends on the middle child you're talking about.
That's true.
I probably have the smallest heart in the family line. That's not true. The hearts get bigger as people get younger. So my two younger brothers are probably like the most loving of the whole. Yes, because they're the ones that were not purely raised on my parents' earlier evils.
What it is with the youngest child? Especially if you have like immigrant parents, like the longer your parents have been here, the like easier they go on the youngest child.
Less they hit them? Is that what
basically. And so the oldest child, the older kids are the kids where they're like, no, we're trying to make you stay within the culture, the this, the that. And like, I'm the youngest. And like, my sister's always complaining about how like, she's like, Carolina, just, but also I was a good child. My sister was more rebellious.
Whoa. She has a right to say that because you didn't get your ass whooped, and that's the difference.
Exactly.
I was also a good child, and I still got more than my brothers.
And like, there's no benefit to being the oldest. You're just like literally paving the way for all of the other idiots. It's like,
oh yeah, no, my sister literally has tattooed eyebrows that don't fit her face. That's what happens as to the older children. They just go their own kind of crazy.
Exactly. It's bullshit.
Like it's my sister, truly, like not like the most insane person I've ever met, and she, like, I love her very much. She pretty much was our second parent, but she ain't all there.
Fair.
She like fair. During one visit, I was like listening to the music in my car radio, and she's like, "So you like Janet Jackson?" And I was like, "What kind of question is that to ask me 39 years into existence? Do I like you Janet Jackson?
Me? Have we met?
You were there when I was born. I was black the whole time. Like, what'd you?" I ruined your Janet Jackson cassette tapes multiple times. And here you are asking me. Mm. Like, she just like, she pops into reality very briefly and then pops right back out.
Mm. That's so funny. Yeah. And I feel like that is the oldest sister to like choose when they want to be involved, when they want to like give. And
hell
when they
don't, that's my sister. Shoot.
I feel like I literally didn't pay attention to my youngest sister for a solid like 6 years. Like literally just like forgot she was around. Like when I was in like middle school, early high school. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, they're around. Cause like when they're not a baby anymore and they're not like a full person, you're just like, what are you?
I feel like she just pops up and was like, oh, how come you guys have never called me? Like, you've never called us.
Exactly.
It is the impotence of the elder child to be the communication point.
And I've been failing at that lately. I definitely need to be in better communication with my youngest sister for sure. But it's like, I don't know. Part of me is like, everyone should be reaching out to me. But it's like, no, you're the oldest.
Yeah, that's a rule. The oldest has to be the one that starts every form of communication, because none of the younger ones will ever form a plan together. And that is the rule. We never will. We never want to. And we will use this as an excuse till the day we die.
I mean, my sister's birthday is July 6th. I texted her on July 3rd and I was like, happy birthday.
Oh my God.
She was like, Carolina, today's not my birthday. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know what day it was. Okay.
All right. I haven't gotten that far. At least I know when my sister's birthday is.
But I will say that is true. Like my sister, like if we're doing something for we did my mom's birthday dinner and my sister was the one that like made the appointment, but the reservation, and was like, we're going here. But she chose that restaurant because she likes that restaurant, not necessarily because my mom does, but still like, older siblings, it's your job, Melissa.
Yeah,
I know. And I'll plan and I'll do all of that stuff. But I really felt it like when my dad passed, I was like, okay, I have to like actually be mature right now. Mm-hmm. And I was not always in the position to be. And when I failed, it was infinitely more embarrassing and more like just like jarring to me and to all of us, where I was like, oh shit, like if I'm not being that, like literally no one is going to. Mm-hmm. Which is ultimately, I think, like a powerful role that I embrace, and like, you know, heavy as the head, you know, but at the same time, I enjoy that and like want to be better.
The power shift does trickle down. Like I will do all the planning for me and my two younger brothers. I will not do any, I would not like the reaching out to the older siblings they have to do that to come down to my level of where I'm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that makes sense.
So, I'm like, just trying to be a better sister. I feel like me and my sister, we used to be close when we were younger. And then there was a rough patch there where she honestly went crazy and was acting crazy and was like, just, I wouldn't even, honestly, I legit told my dad, I was like, I think she's bipolar. Just was just being, just wasn't making any sense and acting crazy. And you know, she's, my sister has two kids. So, but now she's calmed down. Honestly, I think it was the pandemic. It calmed my sister down in a way that over the summer, I was like, Kendra, last summer, I was like, Kendra, we need to cut it out. Like, let's just cut the beef and be friends again. And she tried to resist it. Then she came to my wedding and she didn't really say anything to me. She wasn't taking pictures of me. She wasn't really talking to me. I was like, Kendra, what the fuck is, like, let it go. I'm going to let it go. You let it go. What's the point?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be like a better sister. I'm trying to, like, you know, keep more in contact with her. And I feel like we are doing pretty good. Like at my mom's dinner, she was like, oh, I like your braids. They're pretty. And I was like, I like your weave. It's pretty. And then we're like, oh, this is weird.
Yes.
And then I fucked up her birthday, but she's fine. She's in Italy, so.
Okay. I mean, I feel like life is long in the span of sibling relationships.
Yeah.
You're in and out.
I feel like it's, look, I've just lost my sister, so I understand the plight of needing to be more connected to your siblings, but also at the end of the day, she dead. I can't do anything about that now.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, life is short. Enjoy yourself. Mm-hmm. Make connections when you can. No.
Okay,
the one. Right. The one with the crazy tattoos. I could see that for a little while longer.
Right.
I feel like there's things that we regret a lot, but I feel like it's like, you can't really do very much about it.
Yeah. Like, and that's, I think, just part of grief in general. Like, no matter who you lose, there's the regrets. And
There's always regret. That's the thing.
There's really nothing you can do about it. Yeah. Which is brutal, of course.
Yeah.
But worse if you hang on to it and let it, you know, eat at
you. It's also a great tactic to stop a lot of fights. Just look at your sister and be like, bitch, we're going to die one day.
Yeah. The other one died. We're going to die.
What happened? Last summer, my dad drank. Do you know what sorrel is, Solomon?
What?
Sorrel. It's like a hibiscus.
Weed tea.
No, sorrel is not weed tea. Sorrel is a drink that a lot of West Indians drink. It's made of like a hibiscus flower. It's red. It's really good. I think a lot of African people drink it too, but I had THC infused sorrel in my fridge and my dad drank it and he drank so much of it. He drank like literally 3/4 of it and he's never had weed before. And he went downstairs. So my dad owns this building. So he went downstairs to go fix one of the girls downstairs, like sinks. And then he got back up and he like legit thought he was having like a heart attack. Or a stroke. And my friend that also lives here, my other friend, Shara, who lives here in the building, was like, called me and she was like, your dad is sick. We're taking him to the hospital. He thinks he's having a heart attack. And then she told me afterward, she was like, your dad was telling me to tell you and your sister to get along. And he was saying how we need to take care of our family, of my mom and his grandkids, my niece and nephew. And like, it like really fucked me up. He was fine. When we got to the hospital and he told me, I figured out that he had drank the weed tea. He just rolled over and he went to sleep. He was mad, but he was fine. Well, he couldn't be mad because he was high.
Right.
So you got your dad's dying wishes early.
Yeah, basically.
When he was high, too. So these are like the purest wishes.
The purest form of his wishes.
I know. Poor Dallas. But now that's what I was like, Kendra, come on. And so
that's a good scare. Yeah. That's a really good scare. Yeah, and I know my dad would want me to be, you know, in the leadership position and reaching out and making all that.
But also, I think your sisters also have a bit of responsibility as well to kind of like,
of course,
you know, keep the whole gang together. It can't all be on you.
And we're together. We're together. When we get together, it's great. I think I've just been feeling guilty. I'm like, especially my youngest sister. I'm just like, I haven't caught up with her in a bit. I'm like,
just text her. Just text her.
I will.
Let me tell you something. My friend Katie's younger sister is the freaking maid of honor in this bachelorette party situation, and she never answers the texts. And I'm just like, Caroline, you're her sister. Help us.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Luckily, I get all the phone calls because I have the money. So that's kind of the handle.
We need Solomon.
When you're paying bills, you're getting all the information. Oh. Mm-hmm.
That's so funny.
Everyone's it's an easy call.
That's hilarious. Well, Solomon, was there like, I don't know, or just post grief or COVID or any like methods that you used to self-soothe, you know, kind of get through, you know, help you or unhealthy?
I don't think I'm fully through anything by any means. Grief is the wonderful constant for the rest. Cause I lost my best friend at the top of the pandemic, and I lost my sister towards the end of it. What's still going on? It's one of those things where like, it's hard. Like it's a certain specific depression and you tend to project it onto other things. So you kind of have to sometimes it's like, oh, I doubt myself and I doubt like my ability is right. And I'm like, no, I'm going through grief and the trauma is being pushed into other facilities. And that's why specifically, like I'm very like careful about dating and asking people out, because that kind of rejection can easily, like I'm still in the position where
you don't want to pile it on top.
I can definitely maneuver. I could, like my mind wants to maneuver frustration, depression towards things that aren't truly the root cause. It is the cause is grief. And needing to fully process it. Like it's not fully processed, but process it enough to the point where I don't deflect away from the actual, like I don't let things get get to me so easily. Cause that's kind of what's going on right now, is a lot of things get to me very easily. I'm trying to be very, very, very aware of that.
Yeah.
And drugs helps.
Drugs, of course, yes. Drugs are fun.
But yeah. I do too much, and I have a bit of addictive personality, so I have to be very, very wary and very thoughtful.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I try not to do it in town that much.
Love that.
As I used to. But who knows? I'll probably do some tonight. Who cares? I don't know.
Who cares? Is there anything that you do, though, sometimes that you're like, okay, I feel idle? Like this morning, I realized like I put makeup on. Everyone is making fun of me. They're like, oh, Carolina, why you put makeup on? You're sick. And I'm like, I don't know. When I put makeup on, like the process of putting on makeup, it like soothes me. It calms me. It like, you know, it like lets me feel, or like sometimes I need to ride my bike and I'm like, I'm going to ride my bike to this show. I'm going to show up really sweaty and gross, but like, it'll like get all the bullshit out of my head. The demons.
No, like after my friend passed, I was definitely like being chaotic and just being as do whatever the fuck I want. And then for me, it's like I get into, like I can make, like I prefer to make healthy and constant choices for myself. So I was like doing yoga. I was going to I was working out at home. I had my Peloton. I did makeup here and there. I was working on projects of my own. And that's kind of what I want to be doing. But it's just when you're dealing with any sort of loss, it's just kind of like very hard to maintain control of your own schedule. So that's kind of where I'm slowly coming back to now, bringing myself back to my schedule and creating things. And like then that's one thing is like I will be honest, like I've been luckily a little more creative. There was a creative block for a bit, and now I feel like there's not as much. I think it helps that the public is a little more open and I get to see things. But it's definitely going to be a process before I'm in any position to be like in full mode that I am in. Cause I am truly like once I have my head in the game, no bitch can touch me.
Of course. But I think you have to take care of yourself to get yourself back to that or to whatever new space that you'll be in. And I love what you said about like knowing the patterns of behavior that are ultimately grief, but are disguising themselves. That is my MO. I am constantly like, something's wrong. I don't know what it is. I'm going to be a bitch and start a fight. I'm going to, you know, get mad at my friend. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I am just hungry. And if it's not that, it is, I'm sad about my dad. And like, not that there's even a solution, but like, identifying it is one step in the right direction. And
Well, it's just choosing for me, it's like I should be sad about the thing that I should be sad about. If I choose to be sad about something else, that means I'm now sad about two things. And I'm not truly sad about two things. I'm truly sad about the one thing. I'm just covering it up. So I need to move this one thing out of the way and be sad about the thing that I'm truly sad about.
Yeah. Yeah. And live in that until however long it takes. And I think waves of it, you know, forever, as sad as that sounds, but like at least when we process like in the moment, then when the waves come, it's like, okay, I know how to at least get through the momentary part of it.
Saying it out loud, like that's also very much like whenever I feel an emotion that I don't want to feel, I then like saying it out loud to myself and necessarily being like, is this truly how I feel about myself? Is this really what I think about myself? Do I think I'm not good at what I do? Do I truly believe that I'm incapable? And it's like, no, I don't feel that way. So like, I can like, that's like, and that's like the true, like once I like announce all the things that make me feel bad, I can be like, those aren't what those feelings aren't true to who I am. So clearly there's something else going on.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's so hard sometimes. It's so hard sometimes. Like I feel that like, the identifying it and let's just like following through on that thing and not getting distracted by the other bullshit and trying to pin it on something else. It's so hard. And I'm trying to work on that.
It's difficult, but also keep in mind, I'm 40. It's like, I'm not over here. Like I used to do this. Like that's the things that I used to beat myself up the most. And it caused me terrible social anxiety, disconnection with human beings. And I'm slowly, as in it's through, truly most of my anxiety kind of resolved itself as I get older through the patterns of behavior that I constantly applied over and over again to acknowledge what I'm doing and not to make it happen again. And, but that's the thing, like you have to do it with time. That's the way it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think
medicine, drugs, alcohol, and good times.
Exactly. And dancing and having fun.
Yes. It's time, but I have no patience, you know? That's what I'm trying to work on, is having patience with myself, with other people. I literally just get so, what's the word when you have no patience? What's that called?
Impatience.
No. Oh my God, that's so funny.
That's recorded.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I'm
sick. God. No, I'm sick.
Are you?
You don't sound sick.
You don't sound sick to me. That's so funny. No, I think also you make a great point in the self-protection of not dating when you don't feel capable of dating. Because even when you, of course you still want the human connection, but like, and this is not the same at all.
You can get
like,
human connection from your friends.
Exactly. Yes. And this is different, but after my dad passed and I was like, I'm not going to do Zoom stand-up shows or shows that I don't feel like ready to do or excited about, just because in a similar way to dating, if I don't have a set that I feel good about, I can't handle that right now. I'm not going to be able to get off stage feeling like uncomfortable or like I failed in any sense and go home and sit in my house and be okay. Like, it's just not. And I think that like, I don't know, for me being single is full panic, like low level constantly. Like when you're involved with someone, it's just like,
But if somebody very hot and very emotionally capable wants to jump in right now, I'm more than happy to allow them in. Like the door is not shut.
Hosewithfeelings@gmail.com. We will connect you personally. We will set it all up.
If you live in the greater Los Angeles area and are hot as hell with you know what? You don't even have to be doing very well financially. I'm very good at that.
Send you another DM, like the one that you showed me when we were out.
Oh God, that one. I don't want to talk about that
we
one.
It was cute and it was very nice. And someone will love Solomon just like that, being super.
Look, I feel like I should put that energy out in the world because I don't do that very much. So when every time I've been single, I've sort of been just a little bit like, no one touched me. And I'm like, you know what? I will happily be touched. I don't want to do it with anybody who is not invested.
anymore.
A lesson that I've learned, still learning. It's never going to not learn that lesson.
Of course. And it's so easy to slip back in. And I feel like many of my friends are in similar positions. And it's like, where is the line between like, okay, cool, I am just going to have this fun experience. And yes, of course, have that experience. But I think the kind of, unfortunately, like turning it off and being like, no, this is the standard now, does bring.
It's like having sex is fun, but it's, becomes monotonous and not that fun. And I got the room, I got the space, and I'm not gonna get any younger. I'm gonna still look
you
younger.
Can have your own closet. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I get Botox and keep looking amazing, but you can have this face.
I am. That's.
I want to get Botox.
I have not gotten it yet. I am considering it. I'm getting, what is it called? It starts with an A. It's a little injection where they.
Oh,
where
Kybella?
Takes out, yeah. Kybella. Where it eats out the little neck fat. It dissolves
the, yeah, mm-hmm. totally. I mean, your neck's looking pretty tight to me, but respect. Look,
this is an upward swing, but.
Sure.
And I have facial hair, but there's just a little, I just want to get a little bit out.
Have you seen like the face gym stuff? I've been very into, there's literal face gym in New York and LA, but like it's all of these like things where you like rub your neck like this and like whatever. And like, obviously I do gua sha, which I'm talking about constantly, but where you're like rubbing the stone and it's.
I don't understand. What is a face gym? I'm about to look it up.
Face gym, you're literally sculpting your face. Like you're
they do it for you every day.
Someone else is doing it for you.
Well,
right?
You can do it for yourself, but they have like facials where you can go in. But yeah, they're saying like, you know, come in 3 times a week and it's like, you know, $70 or something. Like, don't quote me on that price, but it's like, it's enough to be like, okay, I'm not coming in 3 times a week for this, but you can, they have videos. You can do it yourself.
Look, I'm lonely. I'll come in 3 times a week.
Please. Yes. Yes, please. Yeah.
That's also what I want. I haven't had a massage in almost 2 years. I need to get one.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, you gotta get a massage.
I need to get a massage. It's been too long.
Yeah.
That's
massages when, are I love them so much.
It's been a minute for me too.
I'm gonna do a 2-hour one. I think that's what I'm gonna do.
Oh my god, yes.
I'm gonna get a 2-hour fucking full body deep tissue massage and just be mush the next day.
I had a massage I think like 2 weeks ago, and it was, I went to Bath House in Brooklyn and I got scrubbed and
I got
then a
scrub
massage.
Too there. Oh, you got a massage? That's nice. Mm. I liked Bath House, honestly. It's not nice. Bad. It's close. Right.
Solomon, like it's when you it's come for fact challenge,
sounds dirty.
Go.
Yeah. Go to the Bath House.
I will. I have my place here.
Mm. Where's your place here?
There's a few spas here. We Spa is a big one. But I go to, like it's a non-spa place that I go. Well, I get my medical stuff done in another spa as well.
Yes.
As I'm doing the EMS sculpting.
Okay.
A mini spa.
It's,
EMS sculpting?
Yeah. EMS sculpting is when they put these electrode things on you.
Oh, yes.
So and yes, they help you get abs and butt. And I just do a half an hour each.
Love that. I wonder if I have that on ClassPass. I've been using all my credits to not exercise. I've been doing cryotherapy, pulling this shit up, freeze the fat out.
Look, if there's a procedure that probably won't work and I can throw my money at it, I'm going to do it.
Yes. If this seems low risk, low results, I'm there.
I'm definitely going to do it. Like if there's no evidence medically for it at all, I will be there.
Oh, daily exercise? No.
No. How dare you?
No, I do need to. Though
I will. I have been working out, and that is. I've gotten better.
Well, I'm seeing
that.
The kettlebells behind you.
Yeah.
I need to order a kettlebell. That's what I need for my legs right now.
I feel bad because I'm moving, and those weights are coming with me, and I'm not moving them.
Sorry, movers. Lift these weights.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Hopefully, you can carry 300 pounds worth of weights that I'd only use half of.
That's so funny. That is a tough item to move. Where you're like, these are just probably, literal pounds of things.
I'm just doing the math in my head. I'm like, yeah, that's probably like about 400 pounds. I'm not gonna lift it.
No. They'll take their time.
Yeah, this is the first time in my life that I ever was in a position to hire movers. I'm like, ooh. And I was like, and they're like, yeah, we'll charge extra to pack things up for you. I'm like, you're gonna pack things up too?
Yeah.
Oh my god,
that was an option. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you pack. Do it.
That's incredible.
Packing is the worst part besides the moving.
I feel like it would only take. It'd be so quick if somebody else was just doing it, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because then I have to go through and think of the memories of every item that I have, get swept up by that. Watch something on TV for 10 minutes that I accidentally watch for 3 hours and then not do any of it. It's like, really, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. But I think I'm going to do the Japanese cleanup again. I don't know that I'm going to do it full force.
What is it?
Like, It's a whole book where you're essentially like, at least clothes wise, you put
Marie
like literally
Kondo. Every What's it
Marie Kondo. And you like look at everything. And you're like, does this actually make me happy? And if it doesn't, you get rid of it. And
yeah,
like,
I just do that anyway.
That's amazing.
Like I don't keep things.
I need to
long.
Do that with my clothes. I need to do my clothes so bad.
And yeah. I have a lot of clothes. That's why I need to do it pretty often. And I have people who are readily available to take clothes from me, which is always nice. Cause I have,
that's actually super helpful. She says you're not supposed to do that in the book. Like you can't like palm things off on people. Like, will you take this? But I find it very difficult to facelessly get rid of clothes, but to give it to someone in a clothing swap or in another scenario, I'm like, yes.
What do you mean not give it to somebody? Why would that be a problem?
Why is it bad to give it to someone? Yeah.
Because I think if it's like a person, if it's something that you're having a tough time getting rid of and you still want it in your life. So you're like, will you keep like to your mom or something, or like a person who doesn't necessarily want the gift, but you're doing it. It's more for you. Like, oh, yeah, I want you to have this. So I still have it kind of.
No, I want to get rid of everything. I'm really like, I can happily get rid of something and be fine with it.
God, I gotta
There's no attachment to things. And I have zero attachment to material things.
What is that like?
It's
you can't see my face because it got dark in here, but I was like, what?
Like, I'm very unhappy with how much stuff I have now. Getting new things, and I don't like keeping old things.
That sounds healthy.
That's my preference. Like, I like to get a nice new working thing, and then I want the old thing to never have existed to begin with.
Yeah.
Like that's I don't healthy. Like the act of holding on to stuff. I don't like when people are like, oh, you can just sell something. I'm like, well, that sounds like I have to do three other things when I can just throw this away.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's why I enjoy giving things away, because I don't like the process of like having to figure out what to do with it.
Make an
like,
eBay post or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't like throwing it away, because then I'm just like, if someone else can use this, why not?
Yeah, that's because like, and that's what I'm very happy, because I have my brother here, and he's like there's several things here that
I'll take everything.
I was like, there's gonna be several things here. I'm gonna leave it behind, and you will take care of the Craigslist thing. And I'm like, thank
hell
you.
Yeah! Oh, that's great.
Where are you going, Solomon? Are you staying in LA, or are you moving?
Yeah, I'm staying in LA. They're the house that I've been living in for the last decade. They sold it, and it's gonna be sad to be leaving it, because I love this place, but I got a nice new place in the proper part of LA, because I'm sort of in like the outskirts, and it's like a nice little 3-bedroom, 2-bed townhouse. Brand new, which is nice. Like it's very weird to be in this kind of position financially, because I've always been poor my whole life, just the poorest of the poorest. And just to be in a position to be like, oh, I'm going to go live in a newer place that's more expensive, and it's going to be nice.
Yes.
Like, the electric is not old. It's not going to it's not going to switch off when I turn on 2 AC units.
Yeah. That's amazing. No one is more deserving. You work hard. You are kind. You are generous. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy.
Thank
to hear
you.
That.
And it's nice, because it's like new chapter.
Yeah.
New chapter with central AC. And that's
okay.
The great thing about
okay. Yes. Honestly, to me, central AC is such a marker of wealth.
It is. It shouldn't, because I live in Los Angeles and there should be central AC everywhere. But there isn't. I have a personal AC unit in every room in this house, and it is still, I'm still sweating.
Me too. But you know, this is New York. In New York, most people don't have central AC. Melissa's got central AC. She's wealthy.
I'm poor. No, I'm not. I am poor. That's why it is not a marker. It is a marker of having a bill that you can't afford every month.
And that's the thing, is that bill goes right up every.
Oh my God. There was like 2 months of it being reasonable, and then all of a sudden we turned on the AC and it was like, oh, okay, it's crazy again. And we literally, I'm very much like, have the window cracked and blast the AC, because I like to have fresh air too. So I'm a true nightmare.
Girl.
Oh, my house will be 70 degrees every day for the rest of my life. And I will never have it any other way. I went in there and I was like, I found every thermostat and I was like, this is where it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And this is where it's going to stay. Cause Like, and I'm choosing the healthy, like I'm doing the most eco-friendly temperature, and it's going to yeah. be that way every day for the rest of my life.
I don't like to be cold. I don't want to come in and be like, ooh, I'm freezing. Like, I want it to be a reasonable 70 sounds perfect. Dare I say 72?
I will stick to 70. 69, 70 is where I thrive when it's really hot outside. Because like if I'm running errands all day and I come back, and I come back inside and it's only like 72 degrees, I'm going to be like, the fuck is this?
I'm still sweating.
It's But like what, like a nice like chill 69 degrees when you walk into a house.
Yeah, 69 is 60. I like it. I like it a little chillier.
Oh, I keep, no, like, cause I have personal units here. Mm-hmm. It's like the one in the living room is like set like at 63 degrees. Cause it's just, it's fucking, it's a little engine that could in the living room. It's fighting like, but central AC, that everything is at temperature. So you don't have to, not to go even lower because it's like the house remains that nice, cool temperature.
Solomon, I wouldn't know.
Look, well, once you have Solomon's wealth like I do,
I can only wish. I can only wish.
Yes, bring us into the Illuminati, Solomon. Give us the
light. Initiate us.
Oh, no, it's
Go ahead.
No, I have nothing else to say. I'm just going to keep bragging about my financial security.
I'll listen to that all day. All fucking day.
I'm kidding, but
the
no.
Health insurance.
That's the part that threw me off for a bit. Like, I can just go to the doctor anytime now. I'm like, oh, that's...
Oh, my God. Forget it.
I should, but I'm not.
I mean, everyone should. Let me tell you,
I'm a bit of a hypochondriac. I'll run to the doctor in a minute, as you can see.
Yeah, you're saying you're sick, and you're not.
I am
sick, and no one believes me.
I'm just taking my medicine. But the doctor, he was really whack. I was like, I'm sick, and I was telling him everything that's wrong, and he was like, Yeah, everyone's kind of got that going on right now. I said, what?
And you probably were just explaining the cold to him. And he was like, yeah, people get the cold.
He's like, oh, coughing and sneezing. Yes.
I don't have COVID. I took a COVID test. I was like, I took a test. I'm vaccinated. I said, but I don't think I have COVID. He was like, yeah, I don't think you have COVID either.
I think it's a cold. It's just a cold.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I just didn't think he was taking, I didn't feel like he was worried about me. I like to feel like my doctor's worried.
You shouldn't want your doctor to be worried about you. No. That's actually worse.
That's scary if a doctor's worried.
Your doctor should be always calm.
No, I want the doctor to come in. I want him looking in my eyes, looking at my ears, looking at my mouth, looking at my nose. I want him, touching everything, feeling, make sure I'm okay. I want him like Grey's Anatomy style.
You're a hypochondriac. Sure. You're never going to get that from a family doctor. You have to accept your fate. And your doctor sounds like a very good doctor.
Yeah.
Because he's making sure not wasting your money by coming all the way in to check to see if you have a cold.
Do you know how many times my doctor has literally been like, Carolina, especially during the pandemic when I was doing all my the Zoom doctor meetings, the telemedicine. And he was just like, he was like, okay, Carolina, he has a little bit of a Spanish accent. He's Colombian. He's like, okay, Carolina. Okay. We have to talk. Maybe you need to get a therapist. And I was like, I'm looking for one.
He's right. Oh, he was right.
And I'm in therapy now, but I was like, obviously I have anxiety, but still, I think I'm sick.
He sounds like a very good doctor. Yeah. This is a very good doctor. Dr. You're describing Escobar. A doctor that cares about you, but is also very tired and worn out.
He's exhausted by you, rightfully, and he cares.
I love him. He always tells me he's proud of me.
Really?
Yeah, he tells me he's proud of me because he says there's not a lot of Latina comedians, and he's like, said I be representing.
That's really sweet.
That's good.
I love when I get that from a practitioner. Like, I know I talk about her every episode, but Neelam, my wax lady, there's just no nurturing like hers. You're so strong. You're so great. You're so good. And like, literally my mom has never said any of those things. And I probably never will. Like, this is a woman that I go to rip the hair out of my vagina and also to get pure, seemingly, pure
support.
Yes, support.
That's a good situation.
Love.
You know what? I need to, I'm going to get myself waxed then. I need to. Yeah.
I'll give you her name. I'll give you her name. Whatever you want waxed, she'll do it.
Look, take care of my inner thighs and make me feel good about myself. I mean,
hell
that's
yeah.
All I
oh, yeah. Strong girl. Strong
girl. I made an appointment to get a wax Friday morning. We'll see.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What do you mean, going? We'll see? Like, you made the appointment.
I just, no, it always hurts so much.
I know. I've backed out of waxes before, too.
Yeah.
I've never done it.
Well, listen. It's a process.
My pussy's hairy. I'm going to keep it hairy.
And good for you. And good for you. You have to go get like 3 waxes before it starts feeling manageable. Like, and you okay. have to go back within like 3 weeks or else you're going to be back to full bush and then it's going to be painful again. Like, super painful again.
I feel like if for me, like the unwanted hair, I'll just do the electrolysis and see what that's like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a few places where I want to go away.
Yeah. I feel you.
I want to get electrolysis. Is that the laser?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to get that too.
It's gonna
like my chin hairs.
I want to stop shaving this neck beard line. I just want to get rid of it.
I feel that on my boyfriend too. I'm always like this, like shave this part. All
like
of
I
that.
Shave it all the time, and that's it what just he says. And it's like I want to just zzz forever. Yeah, and then,
that's smart. More guys should do that because shaving your face has got to be annoying.
It's
gotta be
it's
really just, annoying.
Everything is annoying. But yeah, it's definitely it's easier than waxing. I'll tell you that.
That's true. That's true. That's fucking rough. Oh. Well, right. Solomon, we appreciate you more
appreciate
than
you
know.
Too. Oh, stop!
Thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, it was such a good combo.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. I'm melting, and I had a great time. And
I'm
now
so
I'm gonna rest.
Yes, do that, and come back to New York.
Yes,
immediately, if not sooner.
And when you I come will. Back, I want to hang out. Hang out with me, Solomon.
That
don't make
youngest
that face.
Child voice. That is youngest child voice. I'm hang.
Very good sale.
Yeah. I'm really fun.
I'll put up, I will hang out with the both of you the next time in New York.
Yes. Oh, we love you, Solomon. Thank you.
Love you too.
And
thank
where can
you
we
so
follow
much.
You on Instagram? On anything you want to plug?
I'm Solomon Giorgio across the board, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever. If there's another Solomon Giorgio, you have to kill them because I'm the only one.
Immediately, yes.
Immediately. Like if they say mm-hmm. it, they have to die.
So fast, yes. Perfect.
Yes. That's who I am, and that's what it is everywhere.
Gorgeous. Thank you, Solomon. We love you.
Thank you. Love
you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.